This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on public school outreach with Larry Chapel. Larry Chapel is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College, and he now serves as the Student Ministries Director at Lancaster Baptist Church.
Real quick, I want to introduce myself. If I haven't met you, my name is Larry Chapel, and I'm one of the student ministry pastors here at Lancaster Baptist Church, working primarily with the senior high. And we have every Sunday probably about 300 drive-in teenagers, 7th through 12th grade, that come to our student ministries. We have more that come on the buses, more in college and career. And so we work with those teens every week. And when I first started in student ministries, Brother Schmidt was here. And one of the scariest things, one of the scariest conversations I ever had with Brother Schmidt was when we went out to eat, and he said, "I want you to start a couple Bible clubs at the public high school." And how many of you, just out of curiosity, how many of you guys went to public high school? Okay, good, majority. How many, Christian? Okay. I was in Christian high school from kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade, okay? Public high schools scared me, all right? I heard them and used as preaching illustrations, and people get shot, do drugs there, and all this stuff, you know. I was scared to go. So when he told me he wanted me to help start a few Christian clubs at our high schools, that terrified me. And but we hit the ground running. We learned some things as we went. And right now we have 4 public high schools, clubs that meet around the valley. We'd like to get more. There's some elementary clubs that we are able to participate with as well. And so God's blessed that. We've seen people saved. We actually have, from our church, I can think of one. That's awesome. I need that one. That's great. We have one student that I can think of that was reached through our public high school Bible clubs and is on the mission field today in China. So that's we've seen some fruit from it. So we'll talk a little bit about the process of that. And the one last thing I wanted to say before we get started is, if you were in the session my dad gave right before lunch where he talked about America Tomorrow, this book was passed out to the pastors, okay? It's available for free download on Ministry 127. In chapter 6 of this book, I wrote probably 10 pages or so, everything that I've learned, and there's more to learn, all right? Brother Clevin, I see you back there, and I know you've got a lot of experience with the high school district in our valley, so you can correct me, you know, if I say something wrong. But
likely the elementary, but
more, okay. So we've learned a lot of things along the way, but I do want to encourage you to get this, to download this, and read through it if you're serious about establishing public high schools. A couple more questions just so I know who I'm talking to. How many of you guys have a public high school club? Any of you guys have one? Okay. A couple here. All right. That's awesome. That's exciting. Probably one of the most refreshing. To me, public high school ministry is frontline ministry. Okay. You can conduct ministry every week that occurs on your campus, and that's awesome, and that's great, but you can potentially lose touch with the culture and with the real needs of the youth, okay? So especially if you work with youth, I would highly recommend public high school ministry will be a benefit to you. You'll see what your teens that attend public high school go through. You'll learn a lot from that, so that'll be a big benefit to you. If you've got your notes, let's get started. We'll start with number one, clarify your vision and goals. Clarify your vision and goals. What is it that you want to do and what is it that you can do? All right, so you heard earlier today that if we're going to make an impact in America, we have to make a presence in the public high schools. And let me tell you this, there are other left-wing activist groups that already are making a presence. The first day that we had our club at Pete Knight High School, we were kicking off our club, and we had the members from the Gay Lesbian Club come to our club. And they were not confronting us. They were really curious, if anything. But they let us know that they were already there, and they really had beat us to the punch. So what is it that you want to do? What is it that you can do? Hopefully you have a heart to do something, all right? So we're going to talk today primarily about establishing a club, but we want to talk about other options as well, okay? So what is it that you want to do? Clarify your vision and goals. Find out what do I want to do and how can we do that? And the first thing, this is one of those elementary things. You could put this at the as the first point of every session, and you have to begin with prayer. You have to begin with prayer. And I'll be honest, if that is the only point I gave you today, that would be the most practical, useful, applicable point. Because the ministries that we're talking about establishing will not be established unless you bathe it in prayer. Okay? Let me give you an example. I've never had a prayer request answered by the Lord so specifically than when I prayed to help to get a public high school club started. Okay, I told you that Brother Schmidt had that conversation with me. He wanted me to help start some public high school clubs. We had started a couple. We had a couple more that we were hoping to get into. One of the schools we wanted to get into was Pete Knight High School out in East Palmdale. We had a couple members. Dante went to that school, and we had a couple teens from our church that were out at that school. And we'd even talked to Dante about starting that club. That's something that we wanted to do. And I went to the school office and met the activities director who organizes the clubs on campus. And I was striking out trying to find, you need a sponsor. We'll talk about that in a minute. I couldn't find a sponsor for our club. And I was just striking out. And so the activity director said, well, there's already a Christian club registered on our campus, and here's the teacher that it's registered to. So she gave me the teacher's name and the teacher's email address. So I emailed the teacher that night and said, hey, here's who I am, and we'd like to help you. Can we provide curriculum? Can we provide snacks? We've got some teens that go to your club. Anything that we can do to be a help. And weeks passed, and I didn't hear from this certain teacher. It was at the beginning of school. She was busy. And I didn't hear from her. And I remember having that conversation again with Brother Schmidt. He said, is this club going to happen? And I felt like all the pieces were there. We just needed a sponsor. And if there's one Christian club, you can't start another one. There's going to be just one Christian club on the campus. So she already had it registered to her. If we were going to have a presence there, we needed to team up with her. And so I prayed on a Friday night, God, would you please help this happen this week? I was very specific. Please make this happen. Saturday morning, I was out soul winning. I got a map for East Lancaster, got my map, had my partner, went to a door. The very first door I knock on, I said, hey, I'm Larry Chappell from Lancaster Baptist Church. This lady answered the door, and she seemed a little shocked. You know, something was going on, and I didn't quite get it. And she's like, oh, hold on just a second. She closed the door, came back about 2 minutes later, and she had her school ID on. She's like, I'm so sorry I didn't get back to you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are, what you're talking about. And it was that same teacher. I knocked on her door the very next day, the first door, and she says, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. She thought I tracked her down at her house to talk to her about establishing a club. And really, it was God just opening the door. And I said, let us finish the rest. I said, we're inviting everyone to church. Let us finish the rest of the street. We'll come back and we'll talk to you. And we came back, and that day we told her everything that we would endeavor to help her with. She was struggling. She had a heart to see a club established. You know, Mrs. Hutchinson, she had a heart to see a club established, but she didn't have the tools to do it. She told me the year before she had two, maybe three people come to the club. And so we said, hey, we want to help you if we can. Provide a lesson, provide games, stuff like that. She was all about it. We set a start date, and then it went off from there. And it's probably one of our stronger clubs, probably averaged in the 20s this last year, and saw some good fruit from that. So begin with prayer. God will open the doors, and it'll be different for every single situation. Every single one of the four public high school clubs that we've started differently, okay? They all had a unique situation. So begin with prayer. Then seek counsel and prayer support from your pastor and team leader. Seek counsel and prayer support from your pastor and team leader. One of the things I appreciate working with my dad is that a lot of the things that we do around here, he's the driving force behind it, okay? One of the reasons we have Christian clubs is because he has a passion for it. Frequently in a leadership team meeting, I'm talking a few times a month, he'll ask, how are we doing with Eastside High School? Are we partnering with them? How are the clubs doing? And he's really the driving force behind it. And what I want to encourage you to do is talk to your pastor, get him fired up about it. And you need him to back this, all right? It can't be, because it will take some time. You need him to say, this is okay, this is worth it. And he most likely will, but make sure that he's on board with it. Next, identify nearby public high schools. Identify nearby public high schools. What are the clubs nearby your church, your area? Okay, so when we started our clubs, not knowing anything, not having talked to anyone, the first thing that we did was we made a list of here's the clubs in our area, okay, starting with closest to us to furthest away. The closest club was our third club that we started. So it's not always your closest club, the one that you'll be able to get into first, but we started making a list, and we began to familiarize ourselves with those schools, and we made visits to the schools. I've made visits to schools and sat down with principals just to introduce them, let us know who we are, and ask them if there's anything we can do to help. So identify the schools that are in your area, and letter D, become familiar with public high school opportunities. Become familiar with public high school opportunities. Become familiar with the different public high school opportunities. And what are those opportunities? Right here in your notes, what is it that you want to accomplish? Let me give you these real quick. These are just a few. There's more. You can become a high school volunteer. You can become a high school volunteer. This is something myself and another youth intern did about 3 years ago. We went to the school district, and we became official volunteers. We got our fingerprints done, background checks, and we became a volunteer for a period of time for the school district. And that opened some doors. So that's one thing that you can do. If a club's not happening, or maybe you guys already had a club and you just want to spend more time, that's one option to look into. Our Eastside High School, the very first time we walked onto that campus was because there was a tragedy in town. There were three girls at the high school that were murdered. This high school, when they opened it at first, they were still building it. So it was just 9th grade and 10th grade those first couple years. And we got a phone call. There were three girls murdered, and they were popular girls. The school was a lot smaller by public high school standards. And the teacher said, man, this has really affected our school. They invited myself and another youth intern to come, and they gave us a microphone system. And this was after school, so it was optional for the teens. And we got to go in there and talk about, they named the event Healing After Tragedy. And we talked, gave them some principles. Then we talked about the greatest tragedy ever was when, we talked about how a tragedy is when a bad thing happens to a good person. And that naturally led into the gospel. And we were able to do that. That was an incredible door that was open. But become a volunteer, and God may open a door like that for you. Lunches, if you have students that go to school, you can get a pass. You can get a pass, go through the school office. And I will say this later, but let me just pause here and say, don't ever try to work the system. Don't ever try to do something that would harm your testimony, the testimony of other Christians coming behind you. Don't try to sneak onto campus. Play by the rules. Now, I'll tell you this. From our experience, every high school that we go into, it seems like, I'm sure, Brother Clevin, they're supposed to have the same rules, but it seems like everyone's a little bit more unique. And some of the schools that we'll walk into, they're like, stand here, and when the bell rings, then you can walk in. Then there's other schools we walked in, they're like, go on back, you know, it's 5 minutes before school. So every school is a little bit different, okay? But protect your testimony, your church's testimony, and then churches that might come behind you later and want to continue with that ministry. So, but lunches. If you can, go onto the campus and have lunches with the teens, doing it through the office, getting parent permission, stuff like that. Clubs, the third thing, we'll talk about that. And then the other thing my dad mentioned in the session was the adopt a school. This is not necessarily a program, but more of a mentality that we've adopted here. And honestly, I feel like in some ways we can do a little bit better job at this, but Eastside High School is so close to us, we've made an effort to just befriend that school, okay? I've gone on a couple occasions, my dad mentioned, we've met with Coach Parker, the basketball coach over there. We arranged time to serve their basketball team meals. We arranged a bus to take our teens over there. They have awesome facilities over there, too. They have their basketball. I mean, it's like NBA, man, and they're in high school. They have hot tubs and jacuzzis. They have a practice court, and then they're real quick. It's amazing. But we went over there with Coach Parker, and he told us when we sat down, they got 15 guys on the teams. He said, as far as I know, 9 of my players don't have dads. That's pretty incredible. Out of 15 people, 9 of them didn't have dads. And he's like, now listen, Coach Parker's not even a Christian. But he said, we need you. Come, hey, whatever you want to do. And he's welcomed that. And so we've gone over there, and we've taken the teachers donuts and coffee in the morning just randomly. That's a great idea. If you're close by to a school, just get to know people. Tell them you love them. Tell them you care. And form that partnership. Next, Identify and develop key relationships. Identify and develop key relationships. I'll give one other quick story real quick. When Eastside was being built, they didn't have a gymnasium at first. They were practicing outdoors. So they wanted to use a gymnasium. Like I said, we're very close, so they called us and asked if they could use our gym. At the time, it was just the busiest part of the school year. We already had like two basketball teams and a couple volleyball teams that were practicing in our gymnasium. So we couldn't accommodate them, okay? We were very kind to them. We said, we're booked. I mean, our basketball team was already practicing at like 10 o'clock at night. And we were kind to them. But I remember when we did talk to Coach Parker, there was a little bit of a hurdle there because he had this impression at first that we weren't willing to help him. And I only say that to say, people, it's the same, you know, you've heard it before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And he had this impression, and it was wrong that we didn't care. And it set us back for a little while. We got to know him. We overcame that hurdle. But you've got to let them know that you care more than taking from them or what they can do for you. Next, identify and develop key relationships. Identify and develop key relationship. Get to know the school administration. Get to know the school administration. Now, this is where the Lord will open some doors for you. There is one teacher, actually the principal of Eastside High School. I for a period of time, when I worked at a law firm here in town, I knew this principal. He wasn't the principal then, but I knew him. We had talked regularly. He knew who I was. And I thought when I heard he became the principal of Eastside High School, I thought for sure he would be like totally welcoming us. But it really didn't happen. But then there have been other principals who have been kind to us. So get to know the administration. Go in there. If you ask for an appointment, they'll give you an appointment. You can go in there and talk to them, and they'll be kind and courteous. And we've done that. Then identify Christian teachers and students. And this is huge. Identify Christian teachers and students. If you're going to start a Christian club on campus, you need the help of a teacher and you need some students, okay? Technically and legally speaking, you can't walk on a campus and start a club, okay? It's not like playing into a church or something. You've got to go through the right procedures, and you have to have a teacher and a student who will help. And so start asking around. Ask students who are in your youth group, hey, where do you go to school? And begin to make a list. So now you've got a list of, here are the schools in our area, and then you start to match up with the school. Oh, hey, Dante goes here. So-and-so goes here. So begin to make a list. Then ask them, hey, do you have a teacher that maybe is a Christian teacher would be willing to help? And start to collect a list of names of potential teachers. It's amazing. When we started this process, we had a teacher that was in our church already who still teaches at Lancaster High School. I'd never even met her, but we started asking around, and I got an email a couple weeks into the process. Hey, so-and-so goes to Lancaster High School, would like to help start a club. I actually was already meeting with some students, and we were able to go in there. And I saw her yesterday. She's attending some sessions here at Leadership Conference. Miss Richard just does an incredible job at Lancaster High School. But look, search for teachers, search for students, and then let her see. I wrote down there Christian coaches as well, because a coach can help as well. So identify those relationships, but don't just identify them, develop them, get to know them. And it may not happen on the first meeting. You might have to say, here's who we are, here's what we'd like to do, pray about it, let's talk later. But develop those relationships. A couple important reminders, and I think these are your notes. First of all, use discernment when approaching school faculty. Use discernment when approaching school faculty, all right? Understand, I mean, there are terms that we even use around church that just sound weird to non-churched people, okay? Plenty of time, I've brought a youth worker with me, and I've accidentally almost referred to him as like brother so-and-so. That's weird to those people, you know? They don't know that. Little things like that, just be careful with what you say, with how you say it, and when you let them know what you want to accomplish. And some of this is in the club constitution, but we want to help young people develop lives that matter. Okay, you don't need to in that first meeting go through all the doctrine and this is why we're right and stuff like that. Just use discernment when you talk to the teachers, and really when you approach them with a heart to learn, because they'll teach you things and they'll tell you things. Rather than you go there and tell them how you want to do it. So use discernment, then value contact information. Value contact information. When you get someone's name, maybe a student comes to you and says, hey, so-and-so would like to help, and they give you that. I wrote this point for me because I had a couple times where someone in passing said, hey, so-and-so, they can help you out at this school. I'm like, awesome. Yeah, just write it down or email me. And then I never made that connection, all right? Get that information and grab onto it. Don't lose it. Then next, show appreciation for those who offer their support. Show appreciation for those who offer their support, okay? When we get a teacher that's willing to help us, we go out of our way to be kind to them, to show them appreciation. We give them, one of the things we do, Brother Gibbs has a book, Keeping Christ in the Public Schools. We give our teachers that partner with us that book. Answers a lot of questions. If there's ever, I had one teacher, it was Miss Hutchinson out at Eastside, and I came to club one day, and she said, she was all frustrated. She said, the administration came to me, and they said, I can't pass out tracts, you know? And I have my freedom and this and that, and I'm not allowed to pass out tracts, they told me, but I know I am. I'm like, I'm going to get this book. So I went and got the book. We brought it back, and sure enough, she wasn't allowed to pass out tracts. She wasn't allowed to. But Brother Gibbs had written some things like, you can't do this, but you can do this. And so for everything that you can't do, there's a way to do it right and legally, too. So show them appreciation. We've given that book as a tool. Next, got to move along here. Keeping Christ in the public schools. Keeping Christ in the public schools. Highly recommend it. The great thing about that book is that it gives precedent, legal precedent setting cases that, hey, the Supreme Court ruled this or this court ruled this, and that's very useful information to take in there. The name of the book? Keeping Christ in the Public Schools.
Who's it by?
I'm sorry, David Gibbs. Yes. You have to have a serving, learning, humble mentality walking into the schools. Otherwise, yeah, you've shot yourself in the foot. You'll never get it off the ground. And worse than that, you know, you'll ruin future opportunities. You'll put a bad taste in the mouth of people in your community that you've never even met, because that teacher will go tell another teacher, hey, this guy said this, and man, it'll spread in a way that you don't want it to spread. So identify, develop those key relationships. Use discernment and everything that we talked about. Number three, create a ministry plan. Create a ministry plan. Collect as much information as possible. Kind of already talked about that. School names, contact information, school schedule. Learn. It's amazing to me. The schedules, when our schools get up, you know, 2:24, 2:18. On Wednesdays, it's, I forget what they call the Wednesday days, but it's a different schedule. And so learn all those things as well. Figure out what organizations are already at the school. That will be helpful as well. Then, letter B, assimilate a team of both students and teachers. Assimilate a team of both students and teachers. So now you've already collected their information. You got, here's a student, here's a teacher, here's a school. You got to start bringing them together. And I'll tell you this, if you can find a teacher who will sponsor you, they will know how to get this done, okay? If you'll be humble with them and have a serving mentality, this has been the case in every situation that we've started. We found a great teacher that helped us start these clubs. And they know, hey, here's what you're supposed to do, and here's what you're not. You have a club constitution we'll talk about in a minute, but that needs to be presented to the student body council. And in every situation, the teachers helped the student do that, made that happen. And so start to bring the students and teachers together. Then create a desired timeline of events, okay? This is something, I have the tendency sometimes to just talk about something for a while. We're going to talk about this, and then I want everything to be perfect, okay? And I learned with our first couple clubs, we talked about it way too long, and we lost momentum because it was halfway through the school year before we actually had something started. When I knocked on Miss Hutchinson's door, we wanted to start the club, I learned by then that, hey, you just have to go for it, because she was saying, let's do this, let's get a club name and logo, and we'll do this, let's create binders, and that'd be awesome, but it's going to be next year before all that stuff is done. I said, how about let's do this, can we set a start date and then add those things? And she was all about that. We set a schedule that we then stuck to, and we put that schedule a couple weeks out, and we launched on that day, and we held a club every week of the year. Then next, have a student or teacher submit a club constitution to the ASB, the student body council. And I've included with you the club constitution that I gave you was the constitution that we submitted to start our clubs. And the reason I think it'll be of help to you, hopefully, was this is one that was kicked back to us and we needed to revise some things. Then we revived it and was accepted. Okay. So hopefully if you want to start a club, this will be a help to you. And you can see some of the wordings. We had to be real generic and positive and talk about enriching lives. And it was accepted. So hopefully that'll be a help to you. But that needs to be taken to the student body council. They've got to approve the club. The club's got to have a president, forget all the secretary. And you've got to have some organization. It's great for the teens to learn basic skills in government and things like that. And so that club constitution needs to be approved. Once that gets approved and you got a teacher and you've got a student and you've got a room that you can meet in because it's been approved by the school, then you got to promote the clubs. Here's a few ways that we've promoted the clubs. We've promoted the clubs in our church bulletins. The teens can make flyers and pass them out in school. Now you cannot go on school passing out flyers like this, but the teens can do that. Okay, so you can encourage the teens, help them make the flyers is fine. But they've got to pass them out. Then school announcements. They have school announcements that'll be run before PA, public address announcements, before school, during lunch. They can be made in there. But the best way is just word of mouth, okay? And what has really helped us, again, I come back to the teachers who have helped us. And, the teachers that help in our clubs are heroes of mine because they make it happen, okay? They should be the one getting the applause, getting the awards at Leadership Conference because they're the ones that have made it happen. But our teachers, what they've done is they've been able to tell the students, you know, room 514, Lancaster High School, here's what we're going to have. And they've, honestly, they've really helped to build the club. And then by word of mouth, it's built and spread. And then pizza helps, too, if you want to bring pizza to promote the club. So next, launch the club. Set the date, promote the club, launch the club. Whether you have three students there or 30 students there, I mean, invest in them and encourage them. We'll talk about how to minister to them in just a second. But then the next thing you have to do is evaluate the health of public high school ministry weekly. Evaluate the health of the public high school ministry weekly. You got to ask yourself, how are we doing? Make sure that your relationships are right, that you're treating the teachers right, that you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, and make sure you have an evaluation process. And don't just, in your mind, on your way home, say, that was great. You know, I'm saying, get feedback from the teacher. Ask others, you know, how is this working? Is everything going well? I'm not putting you in any situation or anything like that. Next, maintaining effective ministry through the Christian club. Maintaining effective ministry through the Christian club. Letter A, understand when you're at the club who you'll be ministering to. Understand at the club who you'll be ministering to. My brother's conducting a club, two different clubs in Oceanside, two of the different high school clubs. And it's amazing. Again, this is going back to how every club's different. The high school he goes into at lunch, they don't even have a teacher in there. I mean, the school's opened up, and I don't know if that's policy or not, but they've opened up a room to him right off of the main lunch area. And I think there's someone that's responsible, but I went with them, got a pass a couple weeks ago, and there wasn't even a teacher or sponsor in the room. But in that club, there is a variety of teens. You have, let's go through them real quick. Understand who you're ministering to. Lost kids. Okay. These are our first priority. We want to identify those teens who maybe have been invited to the club. It's their first time. They don't know Christ. All right. That's when I walk into a club, those are the guys that I'm trying to meet first. And just talk to them, start up questions. Don't make them feel awkward, but you can figure out those that don't know Christ. Then, and that's our first priority in going in. Next, the unchurched Christian, okay? One of the clubs had a club president, Christian club president. I asked the guy, I'm like, where do you go to church? He doesn't go to church. And he's the president of the Christian club that we had. And so we were... This is not just in public high school ministry. This is all ministry, effective ministry, moving people along a process. But you got to understand where are they and where they need to be next. So if they're lost, obviously they need to be saved. If they're saved but they're not going to church, you know, or if they're saved but not baptized, understand where those next steps are and kind of prompt them, encourage them to grow, get them to think about it, you know, that next step in their growth. So the lost, the unchurched Christian, those that don't have a church home. Now, again, you have to be careful because you can't necessarily stand up in front of a club and promote your church and your youth activities and your functions, okay? What you can do is if we had Dante, who went to our club as a part of our church, and he got up there and he gave flyers and promoted all those. And you can use discernment in that, because if you have a conversation with the teens and they ask you where you go to church, I mean, that opens up, you know, a dialogue there. But reach unchurched teens, then next, teens from within your own youth group, and hopefully that could potentially be the case. I know my brother Matt has seen, dozens from the high school that he runs a club come to their midweek service. And really, just by words of mouth, just a few teens started coming, they started liking it, they'd start telling everyone, and everyone's like, on the way out, Brother Matt, we'll see you, you know, later tomorrow night. And so teens from within your youth group, but then teens from churches in other areas. And you got to understand this, that you will have teens that come to the club that really need to be ministered to that don't go to your church, okay? You can't have this standoff personnel, you know, attitude that, you know, oh, this, I know all the dirt about this and that. You know, your pastor believes this and that, okay? Chances are, A, the teens don't even know that. They could use encouragement, and they could look back at a time in their life and say, this guy came from that church, and he was real, and he loved me, and he taught me Bible truth, okay? There have been a couple times where teens have come up to me, and they want, like, teens from within the school, they want to argue about a couple things in the Bible. I'm like, hey, that's not why I'm here. I'm not even going to do that with them. I'm not going to trash their church or anything. I'm thankful that they're there, and they won't necessarily be at our service on Sunday, but I'm still going to use that opportunity to minister. Now, I put them last because they are, when I'm going to go in there, I'm going to focus in that order, the lost, the unchurched, the teens from our church, be a blessing to them, and then those from other churches in the area. Letter B. And these are just little things that I thought helped. Allow the students to come up with the name of the club. A healthy club will be a club where the students own it. The students own it, and they run it. And it's not a Sunday school class where you get up in a setting like this. Not everyone's going to be sitting there looking at you, okay? The clubs that we go into, they're walking around, they're sharpening pencils, they're talking to their friends, and, you know, I can't be quiet, you know, I'm going to kick you out of the club. This is voluntary. No, and usually they have a heart to learn, but it's a little bit of a different environment. As much as you can get them to own it, the better the health of the club will be. So give them simple tasks like, hey, let's come up with a name. Next, letter C, as much as possible, allow the students to create a club identity. One of our club names was UGGCC, Under God's Grace Christian Club. They named it. I thought, that's a mouthful, you know. I probably wouldn't have named it that, but they named it, they owned it, they loved it, all right? So get them to create that identity. Never show up, letter D. And I want to go through these quickly to give a couple minutes for question and answer. Never showed up to a club or event unprepared. You got to be ready. Ready with the lesson, with an object lesson, if applicable, with food if you promised it. Be there. Never show up unprepared. As you teach, look for ways to create conversation, okay? It is best to go in there and ask questions and get a dialogue going. Open a passage of Scripture, teach a lesson, but ask questions, get dialogue going, okay? Look for ways to create conversation. We did something in Eastside High School where we went into those clubs and we took current issues, and we had a little debate, 3-minute debate on each side, and the teens got all excited about this. The first week, they talked, and we let them pick the topics, and they wanted to talk about legalizing marijuana, okay? And so they had 3-minute debate on both sides, and everyone was against drug use and everything like that, but they wanted to do that. And then when they were done, they sat down, and we came up and taught a lesson about our bodies, the temple, and we gave a biblical perspective. But since they had kicked off the conversation, they were more in tune to what we were going to say, okay? Because they'd studied it, they'd thought about it, and their friends were up there talking about it, okay? Let's see. And we did that for several weeks on different topics, you know? And when we got up to talk, man, they were in tune. But look for ways to create that conversation. Teach basic Bible truths and principles. When you go into a club, when the Lord allowed you to start a club, I remember the very first time I went to a club, I taught a lesson out of the book of Daniel in the Lion's Den, and I had a guy come up to me right afterwards. His name was Josh. He'd never heard that story before. And I made a mental note, I'm going to teach the basic stuff. Teach basic Bibles, Bible story, Bible principles. Next, include practical topics in each lesson. I mean, these guys, some of these guys are going through it. Broken homes, sexual temptation, drug use. Cover those things, okay? Take your lesson and lower it about 30,000 feet and get it on ground level, something that they can take and they can apply. Next, become familiar with the legal policies, and we already said this, and guidelines for each school. Don't be ignorant concerning those things. Next, avoid physical contact. Don't ever put yourself in a situation, and it's some of you guys that have worked in bus ministry. Sometimes there's a girl, she was on my bus when I was a bus captain in Roseman like 10 years ago, still in college, and she came to our church a couple weeks ago in the lobby, and like I turn around and she's already hugging me, okay? Sometimes they don't know better, and I'm not going to like push her face away and stuff like that, but you want to avoid that contact while you're at school, okay? Do everything that you can to not. You don't ever want another teacher to see you in any inappropriate situation, so avoid that. And I'm talking guys and girls as well. You got to go in there and just keep above board. Avoid physical contact. Always assume the leadership role as you go in there. You want to befriend them. You want to be kind to them, but you don't just want to go in there to win a popularity of "I'm the cool youth pastor in town" contest. Okay? There was one week that we showed up to our club. And there was another youth pastor there. It was kind of an awkward situation. He heard we started. He actually had a church right across the street, so he showed up. And he ended up that day, to avoid an awkward conversation, we let him teach the lesson. But it was terrible because he was trying to relate. And, like, everyone at school was wearing, like, Dockers and a polo shirt. He came in, no joke, he's wearing, like, flip-flops and a T-shirt. And he's just, like, trying to be, like, the coolest guy. And those, you could tell, you could see by the look on the teen's face that there was no respect. And he never came back either, which was interesting to me. But don't go in there just trying to be just their friend or the cool person. Have a leadership role when you go in there. Then next, and you can lead, let me say this, by from the back of the room. And you don't have to always be up front. You can let the teens do stuff and provide leadership that way. Have students from within your youth group promote youth events. I mentioned that already. Have students from within your youth group promote youth events. Next, dress appropriately. I kind of just touched on that. Dress appropriately. Make sure. And when I say appropriately, a tie is not appropriate, okay? You don't want to go in there looking like the FBI, all right? Dockers and a polo shirt would be great. Dress appropriately. Next, show genuine interest in school fundraisers, events, and things that are important to the students. Again, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when we started out at Lancaster High School, we're like, we want to start a club. And then the students came to us and they started saying, we want to do this. We want to have a walk for MS and we want to do this and that. And my first thought was like, I'm too busy for that. I'm trying to start your club, all right? But then, I'm telling you, we made an investment to show interest in some of their events. And I went one day to an MS walk in Lancaster and passed out water bottles. Made a connection with some of those teens. I saw one of them a couple months ago in Costco. And made that connection because I sat there at a booth and I passed out water bottles. And I'm going to tell you, it made a difference for both of us. So show interest in their school. When Brother Ermler, who pastors in Fresno, he helped to start our first club at Lancaster High School. And the teens loved him so much, the students at that club, that they wanted to arrange a school field trip to go and visit his church. And it was like 4 hours away. They're like, yeah, we'll do it. You know, now, it never happened, all right? But when they started talking about field trip, the first thing that came to their mind was, let's go visit Brother Ermler, because they loved him and he had shown interest in their life and cared for them. Next, if possible, bring other Christian teens to club meetings. It's great for them to see. We've done that from time to time. Bring a teen like I was in the Christian school who's scared to death of public high school ministry. It was good for me to see as a Christian school member how blessed I was. And it put things into perspective. So bring someone with you. Next, take time to learn names, grades, hobbies, etc. Okay. You want to build on those things. That's just good relationship building, especially for student ministry. If you're having to go to someone, like, tell me your name, 15 weeks in a row, you're not going to get very far in leading them and investing in them. As the Spirit leads, provoke teens towards spiritual growth. provoke teens towards spiritual growth. We talked about that a little at the beginning. What do they need to take? What's the next step that they need to take in their spiritual walk? Each time you speak on campus, letter Q, we're almost done, give the gospel. Give the gospel. Now, let me tell you this. The Bible is rich with passages, like the one we heard this morning from my uncle, a story about an axe head, and there's gospel application in it, okay? So not every lesson needs to be from John 3:16, but we hit a period of time where we were going to the school, we were teaching love lessons, and we weren't seeing kids come to Christ, okay? And we stepped back and like, why aren't we seeing kids accept Christ? And we thought, well, because we're not giving the gospel, all right? So tie that in every time. And then after, you don't have to have a formal heads bowed, eyes closed, let's come forward, you know, press play on your iPhone, music, you know. But you can give the gospel and then talk to those teens afterwards. You know what we were just talking about? What did you think about that? Or where are you at on this decision? And create those conversations, but give the gospel. And I remember when we made that decision to start giving the gospel, that's basic, you know, but I don't know why we went a few months without doing it. But we made that shift and we started seeing kids accept Christ. Next, think ahead. Last one here. Plan for breaks and look ahead for future opportunities, okay? It seems like you have the clubs, and for us, it seems like school ends kind of abruptly because when we run our clubs, when they get close to their final examinations, we usually don't have clubs perhaps the last week, sometimes the last 2 weeks so they can study. But that comes to an end. Before the club comes to an end, you want to make sure that you've got a appointment already with the teacher, that the students already know, hey, we're starting the second week of school in the fall. And plan ahead. So when you're ending one semester, because this is huge, you don't want to start the process over, because we've done that before as well. Where club's ended. Oh, I forgot to say goodbye to everyone for the summer, and I don't have this teacher's information. And then the fall, you're emailing, starting over. Don't do that. Plan ahead and plan a time where you can meet with that teacher and kick the club off again.